You know that? But at the end of the day, it's not only like foul language, but it's a language. Like it's kind of like a forum. It's a way of communicating that if someone drops a few foul language bombs in a conversation and someone else doesn't give them back, they feel uncomfortable because they're not talking the language. It's a different language. There's so many languages out there. And obviously this morning, I want to talk that we have a culture. We have, you know, an understanding that we're a people who talk God's language. It's it's an amazing language to speak. I'm not talking like some kind of Ned Flanders, you know, corny kind of Christianese, but a language of faith, a language that includes God in our vocabulary, whether it's a declaration of faith or it's an attitude or it's a heartfelt condition that says, you know what, I'm going to trust God no matter what. Let's be people who have a God language. I'm gonna read to you if you can see that from Matthew 4, 18 to 20. This is Jesus. Jesus is calling in his disciples. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is hand." Verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother. Simon and Peter and Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen, throwing the cast net out there. They were working hard. Then Jesus said to them, he speaks a language. He resonates an authority like no one else. And he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He speaks in a language of faith. Happy days. There we go. Fantastic. He speaks with an authority that only he can give. He speaks with a God language that says, follow me. So you've got Simon called Peter and Andrew, two fishermen. They're fishing by the Sea of Galilee, businessmen, you know, perhaps rugged, perhaps rough and ready, perhaps fighters. Who knows? There's a bit of a stereotypical kind of an opinion of these guys. At the end of the day, they're there doing their job. They're making their bread and butter. They're fishing. They're doing what they do. They're busy. They're working. And someone comes along and says, follow me. Follow me. And what happens? The Bible says that in verse 20, they immediately, at once, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately, at once, they listened to the language of faith. They listened to what was said. God's word, you know, obviously Jesus, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. They heard the word resonating. They heard it and they said, you know what? I'm going to follow. I will follow. And to this day, we still know these men. We still know of them. We still know the history of them because Jesus spoke a God language that said, you know what? Come follow me. Come follow me. And I want to encourage us this morning. I want to dig in a little bit deeper and talk about having a God language. Having a God language in our day-to-day. Again, I'm not talking about a corny Christianese. I'm talking about what comes out of our mouth as a declaration of our faith. I'm talking about being professional in the workplace, not being like a kind of an irritant as such, but known professionally perhaps for being who you are and being someone who sticks by the word of God. That's the declaration of our faith. As we speak God's language, let's be people who believe for the impossible. Let's believe for the impossible. Here's Jesus. He believes for the impossible. He says the impossible. Come, follow me. Immediately, these guys drop their nets. You know, when we have God's language, we can believe for the impossible. You know, Peter, he was from Capernaum, and his name was Simon. It was the rock. Jesus said, you know, you're the rock. Now, history says, obviously, Peter went on to build the church and so forth. You know, like the faith was revealed through Peter and went on even to this day. Peter's known now. History says, research says that Peter was actually crucified upside down. Okay, I like the idea of following, you know, what history and research and other books say. This guy, he listened to follow me so powerfully. The words of Jesus Christ were so powerful in this man's life. He saw Christ crucified. Horrendous way to die. He saw it happen. And he comes along and they're going to martyr him. You know, history says they went to martyr him. And because he'd heard so powerfully, follow me, because those words that Jesus spoke resonated right through eternity so powerfully, when they come to martyr him, the Romans, he says to him, you know what? It's too much of an honor to be crucified like Christ. Flip me around the other way. You got to do me the other way because it's too much of an honor. You know, I kind of laugh at, you know, like the Antichrist and the Satanists, and they turn the cross upside down. I think if they really knew what they were doing, like it was an honor. Peter said, you know what? It's an honor to be upside down because I come. It's too much of a privilege to go the same way Christ went, because you know what? He knew what it was to follow him. He saw the miracles. He saw the life change. He saw it. What a way to go. It resonated through him. Andrew, the humble disciple. Andrew was the one that he was known as the humble disciple. He went along and he was the one that introduced the boy, you know, that fed the 5,000. Jesus, here's a potential answer. What do you think of this? He went on to potentially, through research and so forth, says that he went on to perhaps preach to the Scottish back in the day. You know, Scotland has the history that goes right back. Perhaps Andrew was the one that preached them, and that's where we get St. Andrew's cross, because he was crucified on an X-shaped cross. St. Andrew's cross that the Scots are known for. Another one, you know what? Jesus, the word of God, the God language comes out and says, come follow me. And to this day, he's known for the way that he died, because he said it's an honor. It's an honor. He was martyred for who he was in Christ, a man of faith. But let's believe for the impossible. You know, as we speak God's language, what are we believing for? Let's, you know, our kids are on drugs, a ministry calling, paying off a mortgage, believing for the impossible. You know, even getting a mortgage. Believe for the impossible. The impossible's happened. Jesus' words, come follow me. Let's be people who believe bigger, who say, you know what? I believe for the impossible. Dare to believe that God will bring the impossible into your life. Do you know, I dared to believe one day that God could do the impossible in my life. I dared to believe it, that you know what? God could change my life. Broken. Broken bloke. Broken before God. And I said, you know what, God? Do the impossible. Bring it on. God, changed my life. If you're real, I knew he was real, but I kind of put it to him that way. If you're real, then do something about this, because I'm sick of it. I believe for the impossible. What are we believing for today, church? What are individuals saying? You know what, God? I'm believing for the impossible. Believe for the impossible. Have that language that God said. Matthew 9:26, with God, all things are possible. Luke 1:37, with God nothing shall be impossible. The spoken word of God, the God language, goes on for eternity. It changes. I spoke God's word all those years ago and said, you know, I claim God at his word, and said, your word says that, you know, if I ask for something according to your will and in your name, you'll do it for me. I spoke the word and I said, God, I don't reckon my life is how you want it to be. Change it. And you have to change it, because your word says you'll do it. If I, because I know you don't want me to live this way. He turned it around. God answered my prayer. Let's be people who pray and believe. You know, whatever it is that we're believing for, whatever that change is that you're believing to see in your own sphere, believe that God language is going to set it free. You're going to see difference through the declaration of your faith. Come on. You know, there's a story that goes back to the 1960s. It's about a young man named Victor, and he was in New York. He was 14 years of age. He was a drug addict. He was doing crime. He was doing the whole. He was doing it to the point where his teachers were saying to his mum, Victor is going to end up on death row. Victor is going to go in the electric chair. But you know what his mum said? His mum said, no, you don't understand. Well, God's bigger. Victor is going to be a pastor. He's going to be set free. Victor, his life is going to change. Victor's life is going to be different. Victor would come home at 3 a.m. in the morning, and his mum would wait up. In New York there, his mum would wait up every night. Victor would come home high on drugs. He's been doing whatever you do to support a habit like that. And his mum would come home and say, Victor, listen to my word. God has your number. God's going to change your life. God's going to turn it around. And Victor's mum was such a woman of faith that she said, Victor, you're actually going to be a pastor. You're actually going to lead people to Christ. You're not only going to put the drugs down, you're not only going to be set free, you're going to be a pastor. You're going to live out the life that God has for you. And you know, Victor went on to meet David Wilkinson. As a lot of we know, David Wilkinson, the cross on the switchblade, Teen Challenge. So he met up with David Wilkinson and his life changed. And to this day, Victor is pastoring a church. Because of the spoken word, a mother who dared to believe that, you know what? God can change this. God can change it. God can do something in this. God can move. The God language. She spoke God's word over Victor when he came home and said, you're going to be set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we speak God's language, let's speak his word. Speak God's word. Here's Jesus, he's talking to the two fishermen, and he says, follow me. Obviously, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. It was the spoken Word. You know, and these guys, they went on to be the foundation of Christianity. Do you know, as we speak about what's going on in our lives, what are we speaking? Negativity or God's Word? Let's be people who speak negativity. Hey. Let's be people who speak God's word. Let's be people who speak God's word. Let's speak his word. Speak it. The faith statement. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know, I love the story of Pastor Don and Pastor Silla of the journey that they've been on here with the church. You know, back in the day, this block of land, it was coming up for a community purpose type lease, and Pastor Don got the lease and so forth. And then obviously there's the journey of needing how long ago, Pastor Don, did you need the terminal that's down the back corner? Let's round it up. We're evangelists here. 30 years ago, okay? It's a $98,000 transformer that the church needed back then. Who knows, $98,000 even in today's economy? It's a lot of money. Back then, the church needed $98,000 transformer. Pastor Don, Pastor Zilla, speaking over, you know what? We call Palmerston blessed. We call this blessed. We speak it into being. We're speaking God's word over these dry bones. You know, there was the concrete slab went down and there was complications with the build. But Pastor Don and Zilla, like plowing the dusty ground, so to speak, spiritually, speaking God's word over it, saying, you know what? Palmerston's called to be blessed. It's called to be blessed. This was a nothing. One day we're going to bring out the photos of it. This was nothing. There was nothing here. It was like what looks like over the road over there. Like it was just the nothingness, the barrenness, no houses. It's not where you put a church. But we all agree now it is, don't we? So it's Malden. We're just down from Malden Shop. Malden Terrace, that's where you go. But it wasn't. But Pastor Don and Silla, they spoke the word over it and they declared it. They declared God's word. They walked around Palmerston, around Malden, declaring God's word over it, saying, you know what? This place is blessed. It's called to be blessed. It's blessed. Speaking God's word. saying, you know what, something can be different. Believed for the impossible. Believe for the impossible. Do you know the enemy is not aware of what's happening in people's minds? Do you know the devil doesn't know what's happening in your mind? He doesn't know your thoughts. So he doesn't know what you're thinking. Is that pretty cool? It's good, isn't it? It's good that the enemy doesn't know what's happening in your mind. You know what he does here? He hears what comes out of your mouth. He hears the declaration of your faith. And if our declaration is negative, if it's grumbling, that's what he hears. If he hears his word, his plan, he likes it. Because he grabs a hold and says, hey, come on. Must be something going on in there that I'm, you know, I must be doing something right. But if he hears our declaration, which is the God language, the God faith, as we speak God's word, that's what he hears. What about when Jesus was born? So Herod, he's the king. I reckon he's a pretty insecure kind of a king myself. But nonetheless, he heard there's a, you know, king of the Jews has been born. So he sends out the Magi, perhaps three, possibly 12 kings, or, you know, as we know, the three wise men and so forth. Nonetheless, he sent them out. He said, I've heard there's a star. I've heard there's a king. Go and find this king that I may, you know, come and visit him also. Satan's starting to put his plan in Herod's mind because Satan wants Jesus dead. So the king, the three wise men, the Magi, they follow the star and they find baby Jesus. They give him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We know the story there. We see the nativity scene and so forth. But the devil is having a go at Herod. Because he wants Herod to kill the child. So I'm getting this right here. So the three wise men, they had a dream. They heard from God. Now if the enemy had a known what was going on in people's minds, he would have just said, go and kill that baby. But he didn't know. He couldn't work it out. So because of what's going on in Herod's mind, Herod goes, because the enemy's starting the thinking pattern for Herod, he goes, go and kill all the children. All the boys. Go and kill all the boys under two. Go and have a shot, because we don't know what's going on. But we know, we've heard, the spoken word has been revealed. There is a king. Just go out there and kill all the boys under two. Because he didn't know what was going on in the three wise men's minds. The enemy doesn't know what's happening in our minds. He only knows what's coming out of our voice. Hebrews 4:12, it says, the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Do you know the word of God is living? It's living. It's alive. God's word is living. You know, the original text for living is warm, have life, be alive. Not only living, but causing to live. It's applied to God, who has life independently from anyone and from who all living beings derive their life and existence. The word of God is living, and it has life of its own outside of our living sphere. He's his own motor ticking away, so to speak. It's living. It's alive. The word of God is living. You know, we got scientists, the news, we got fairly excited, hey, with Mars. You know, Mars, hey, there's life on Mars. I had a look at the pictures yesterday just to see where it was at. There was still like, hey, I wonder if it's water, I wonder if it's, you know, if it's just the colour, or it wasn't rock solid. It was a bit, maybe there is life on Mars. Maybe God did put some there. But at the end of the day, we got, as a society, we got pretty excited that maybe, media got pretty excited, maybe there's life on Mars. But you know, there's life in God's word. God's word is living and active. It's a power force outside of us. that operates and delivers as it says it will do. If it says it's going to change your life and you speak it, it will happen. God's word is living. It's living. Living. It creates life. Just like when Jesus said back in the day to Andrew and Peter, follow me. They followed him all the way to being crucified. Followed him all the way to go through that horrendous torture. The God's word was so living, it resonated on into eternity. As we speak God's language, let's speak faith, and let's be people who say, God, you said. Everyone say, God, you said. God, you said. You know, I remember as a young man, I watched a preacher. You know, when you're in church and there's guest speakers as a kid, and you're like, and they go, get that young boy up the front here, because we want him to see this. So I had to go up the front. It was on a stage, big old kind of a stage, an old school. You're not going to remember it. You know when you remember something from when you're little because it earmarked. And there was, it was Derek Prince. You may have heard of Derek Prince, great man of the faith. Anyway, he prays for a person. He goes, I'm not going to touch you. All I want you to do is put your legs on the chair. And the person puts their legs on the chair, one leg shorter than the other. And he spoke the word of God over these legs. And because one was shorter than the other, I stood up on stage and I'm there, you know, like I'm kind of on show, like in front of everyone, but I'm watching and this leg grew in front of me. Like, because this person was healed in Jesus' name because of the spoken word of God. God, you said, by Jesus' stripes I am healed. The spoken word revealed a miracle. You know, God doesn't do grumbling type prayers. God, he's not moved by us grumbling, by whinging. You know, oh God, my kids are on drugs. God, I got no money. God, I've, you know, at work so-and-so is giving me a hard time. God, I just, you know, why am I going through this? God, you know what God's moved by? Our declaration of his word. When we say, God, you said. God, your word says, you said, I'm called to be the head and not the tail. You know, as we get in our prayer closet and we want to grumble, it's going on in our head. You know, I want to grumble, I want to be negative, I want to speak the truth here because I can't, you know, I just want to have a bit of a whinge. But God, you actually said, God, you said that you'd rebuke the devourer over my finances. You said it. God, you said it. Come on. God, you said, I'm blessed and not cursed. God, you said with long life, you'll satisfy me. Isaiah 62 and verse 6. Let me read this to you. If you want to grab that. Isaiah 62 and verse 6. If you're going electronically, grab it in the Good News Bible. But even I'm going to read it to you now. I have set watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, who will never hold their peace day or night, who are his servants, and by your prayers put the Lord in remembrance of his promises. Keep not silence, and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her praise earth. Let me read it to you in the Good News, and let me just cut it down to the bit that I want to really pull out of it. They must remind the Lord of his promises and never let him forget them. Remind God of his promises and never let him forget it. God, you said you'll rebuke the devourer over my finances. God, you said that I will lend and not borrow. God, you said it. You know, my own children, they often say to me, you know, well, often they often said it for quite a while. Does that go together all right? But anyway, they said it a lot. I want an iPad. So we went through this process, this iPad process of doing jobs and doing this. You know, it was something that I just so wanted to get. And we, you know, with the pocket money thing and all that. And it was, Dad, you said. Dad, you said it. So eventually, you know, they had money in the bank and they kept asking. They hadn't quite made. I said, all right, I'll loan you the money. Well, you know, actually, I'll give it to you. All right, done. And now it's at the point where, you know, for our internet, we tether off a mobile phone, and that mobile phone, it's been used so much, it's kind of like expanding in different things, and you can't put the charger in it and so forth. It's a really good mobile because it's unlimited. You can watch YouTube, the favourites that they like watching in the whole lot. But now it's, Dad, you said we're getting new internet. Dad, you said... And like, how much do I want to do that? You know, I don't want to give them a snake or, you know, like the Bible says, or, you know, they ask for what one thing and I give them a rock. I don't want to do that. I want to put the internet on. I want to give them a great iPad. I want them to have what they're asking because I actually want to give it to them. Same with God. Same with God in our lives. God, you said, you'd give me the desire of my heart. God, you said it. Single person, believing for a spouse. God, you haven't given me the gift of being single. I don't feel the gift of being single. I'm not feeling it. You said, this is what I said to God. I actually said this to God. God, you said, this is when I was single. God, I don't reckon I got the gift of singleness because I want to be married. And God, you also said that you'll give me the desires of my heart. I didn't grumble. I didn't complain. I just kind of said what he said. God, you said you'll give me the desires of my heart. It's pretty clear the desire of my heart is to be married. 12 years on Sunday, Saturday, on the 6th either way. God answers the prayers. He does. I don't believe in a, you know, God says, hey, that pretty, that good-looking person over there, you know, God said I can have that one kind of thing. I think it's a little bit different to that. But at the end of the day, it's God said, according to his word, God, you said, speak his word. Do you know, as we speak God's language, let's be people who expect to be enlarged, expect to get bigger. You know, the two disciples, their lives got bigger. You know what I mean by their lives got bigger? They did bigger things. They did things, you know, like if they just stayed fishermen in history, pretty small thing. They'd be like, you know, the Galilean fishermen wouldn't be known by name, but their lives got so big that we talk about them now, a couple thousand years later. We talk about how they died because it was for the cause. Their lives got bigger. Do you know, we all know pearls, you know, they farm pearls now and they kind of manipulate the process of creating a pearl. But at the end of the day, the process of an oyster creating a pearl is through irritation. You know, like it gets, you know, I think some of us know it as being a grain of sand or it's a parasite perhaps gets in there. And out of that irritating process, the pearl is formed. Like something good comes out of it. Like the oyster enlarges, so to speak. It goes from a, I don't know if anyone likes oysters, but it goes from the oyster kind of a thing that's in there to having that as well as a jewel. It's enlarged. Its capacity in life, so to speak, it's enlarged. It becomes a lot more valuable, a lot more wanted through the hard time. Romans 8:17 says, and if we, his children, then are heirs and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his spiritual blessing, if indeed we share in his suffering, so that we may also share in his glory. Share in his suffering, that we can share in his glory. You know, the irritants, the parasites, the grains of sand in life are there to enlarge us. They're there to grow our capacity. They're there to take us to our next level. Now, I don't believe that these irritants, these parasites, so to speak, are tragedies, you know, like cancer, injustice, abuse. But I do believe that the irritant that grows us is saying no to the flesh. You know, when the flesh says, I just want to give in. I don't believe that, you know, flying planes in the side of buildings and, you know, terrorism and all that kind of thing. I'm not talking about that kind of an irritant. I'm talking about the irritant that life gives out, like tithing. You know, the irritation of tithing? Oh, 10%. 10%. What? Do you know how irritating that is? 10 bucks
in every 100. 100 in every 1,000. So I just got this much. What, I've got to give that much? God. But you know, we stay faithful in that. That's where we grow. That's where our capacity grows. Addicts. Addictions. I know some people get set free. Like Charlotte, she was gambling the whole thing. She was just set free. Click of the fingers. God clicked his fingers. Bit of favour there. Go for it. People like me, we go through the irritating. You know, I had to go through the irritant. You know, I had to say no to the flesh for a long time. Drug addict, alcoholic, the whole lot. All there. Whole kit and caboodle. It just was like, you know what, just say no to your flesh. Do you know for 9 months I had diarrhea? Like, I know that's kind of like a bit gross, but I just want to put it out there. Wait, the doctors told me to be medicated the whole lot. For 9 months I had diarrhea saying no to the flesh, giving up addictions. But I was like, you know what, I'm just going to press through and believe that, you know what, faith moved mountains. It's all good. God's going to come through on this one. I just said no to the flesh, day after day, one day at a time. I said no to the flesh. It was so irritating. It was so annoying. Life, the mess, started looking better. You know what? That life back over there looks, it's so annoying saying no. But that life back there, it started looking attractive because it was irritating. But God was growing me. God was increasing my capacity. He was causing me to become larger in life. That's what I'm talking about. Young people, saying no to the flesh, you know, in relationships, being pure before God, saying, you know what, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for marriage. That's putting down the flesh. That's what I'm talking about. That irritant that comes that says, you know what, young person, I'm burning with passion. For those who've said no and waited, Charlotte and myself waited. Burning with passion, but you know what? I'm going to put it down. I'm going to say no before God because you know what? I believe his promises. I actually believe this. I believe it works. I believe it's that God wants to grow me. Do you know God's plan for us as we're expecting to be enlarged? God's plan is we always move forward. We're always moving forward. That's his plan. You know, we know Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. We know it, hey. But it says, if you keep on reading, it says, I actually want to prosper you. I want you to enlarge. I want to prosper. We don't like the word prosper too much, hey. Like in the you know, the media and so forth have kind of blown it out. And let's say blessed instead. Blessed. God wants to bless us. He wants to, you know, blessing is being fully satisfied. He wants us to be fully satisfied in life. He wants us to be worthy to be well spoken of. Are our lives worthy to be well spoken of? Are we believing that, you know what, God wants to bless me? I know he's got a plan. But he wants to grow our capacity. He wants us to be bigger people who take on more. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to advance. Prosper, let's go back to that word, is to advance. He wants us to advance. So every time there's one of those irritants in life, and we go, you know what, I'm hanging in there. I'm actually going to hang in there. It's God's plan in that. To advance us. God wants us to move forward. He wants us to make progress. He wants us to succeed and be profitable. You know, God, he doesn't want to povertize us. I made that word up. He doesn't want to povertize us. He doesn't want us to go back in life. He always wants us to be moving forward. He always wants us to enlarge. He always wants us to expect, as we speak God's language, he always wants us to move forward. You know, you could never look, you know, as Christians in society or even media, I saw a media report this week, and although it didn't say it, the media, they were troubled that the church was advancing, that God's Holy Spirit movement was advancing. Things were happening. They wanted to pull out figures and money and all that kind of thing. But how do you look, you know, someone in the eye who's in a poverty-struck nation with no food, and, you know, they struggle for water, and look them in the eye and say, this is God's plan for your life. God, yeah, you're supposed to be like this. No, God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be enviable. He wants other people to say, oh, I envy that lifestyle. I actually envy it so much that I can't contain it. I've got to start giving it away. As we speak God's language, we're called to move forward in life in Jesus' name. God has something amazing for us. God has a next journey, a next season, and it will only come as we speak and declare His word, as we speak His language. Speak His language, His word, words of faith, His favored words. Why don't we bow our heads and close our eyes just as we remain seated for just a moment. You know, it's our culture here in Hope City Church to have the understanding that every week we want to give an opportunity for people who don't necessarily know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. And I want to give that opportunity right now. If you've never started that journey of saying, of being on that place where you are speaking God's language, and you're speaking it right from the start, saying, you know what? My language now is that I want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. In just a moment, I'm going to give people an opportunity to raise their hand and say, yeah, that's me. I won't get you out the front, but I would like to pray with you. And there's a couple of people at the back that would like to give you a Bible and take your details and so forth. But it's a confidential prayer. If that's you, if you've never said, you know what, yeah, I want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Now, I'm not sure that I'm right with God. Two groups of people, or perhaps you have made that decision and you're saying, you know what? I just need to make that decision again today. I'm just not confident I'm right with God. We're happy to pray with you also. But if that's you, as I look around, just raise a hand. And I'd love to pray with you in just a minute. We'll pray a group prayer in just a minute. Perhaps you've come with a friend, or perhaps you're here on your own, or perhaps you've been coming for a long time. And you want to say, yeah, that's me. I want to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to make that decision to put Jesus first. I want to be sure of my salvation. I want to know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of my life. If that's you, raise your hand right where you're sitting as I look around one more time. If you want to say yes, yeah, I want forgiveness of my sin. I want to be able to confidently say that I'm right with Jesus. Just lift a hand right where you are. And I give one more moment. All right, fantastic. Why don't we stand? Let's all stand together. I'd like to pray. Can we pray a prayer together? Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness of my sin. Lord Jesus, I accept you into my life, and I confess you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. I want to pray a group corporate prayer. I want to really pray that we as a congregation are people who speak God's word. You know, I really believe it's important, because as Christians we can be actually, you know, worse off than anyone out there, because we know the truth, and if we don't walk in it, we're really missing out. And other people don't get it because they think, why would I want to be like that? This person says that they're saved, they're a Christian, they know God, they know the creator of the universe, but I don't see why I'd want to be like that. And you know, I believe when the Bible says that we're called to be prosperous, we're called to be envious. People are supposed to envy our lives because, you know, we handle things differently because we see the bigger picture. We handle stress differently because we see the bigger picture. We handle life differently because we see the God moment. Why don't we all lift our hands as an act of faith before God?
as a declaration to say, you know what, yeah, I'm gonna be a person who speaks the God language. Father, we pray a blessing, Lord, on each person represented in this congregation this morning, Lord God. And God, we make a declaration, Father, that, Lord, that we will be a people who speak a God language, who speak a language of faith, who speak a language that God always puts you first, that speak a language of your word. God, may we be so conscious of what's happening on the mind, Lord, but may we make it a conscious choice, Father, to speak your word. God, when there's sickness, God, we want to speak your word. God, when there's bills, we want to speak your word. God, when there's challenges, Father, convict us, Lord, to speak your word. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.